Hello and welcome to the Torah Simcha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Aviva Orlian and today we will be studying Parshas Shlach. This Parsha, the tragedy of the Meraglim, the spies, occurs here, where the course of history has changed, not just for the Dor HaMidbar, that generation of the desert, the ones that left Mitzrayim who were poised to enter the land, but for all future generations who have felt the reverberations of this event that occurred on Tisha B'Av. We have felt this impact throughout our history. As we have said, signs of deterioration surfaced in last week's parsha, with the people complaining for meat, with morale on a quick decline. Here, Moshe Rabbeinu is told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "Shalach lecha anashim v'yasuru es eretz Kana'an." Most opinions say that this was a request that the people initiated, and Hashem agreed, "Survey the land of Canaan as you wish." The Ramban maintains, not such a far-fetched idea. After all, they were about to move en masse into a new land and environment and set up infrastructure, and they would likely have to engage in some sort of warfare because, as the Ramban says, "Ein somchen al hanes," we don't rely on miracles. We have to go through natural means. We have to go through a natural process. Even though they were living a miraculous existence, they still had to prepare for things in a natural manner. So sending a recognizance mission makes sense. So the request, according to the Ramban, was not an unreasonable one, but the report and attitude that they brought back was at the heart of the sin. The Malbim explains similarly, with some differences, and he outlines this for us in very great detail. He outlines it for us here in our Parsha. He speaks about it in Sefer Devarim as well. And to fully understand what he says, and this is something that's spoken about by many other commentaries, is let's first ask a question. The question is, how many times does the Torah use the Lashon of Meraglim or Liragel, meaning to spy or spies, in our Parsha? We call this Inyan Chet Meraglim, the sin of the Meraglim. How many times does the Torah in Parsha Shlach actually use that Lashon of Liragel or Meraglim, Resh Gimel Lamed? So think about it for a couple minutes. You can pause if you'd like, or I can put on the Jeopardy music while you figure it out. And if you arrived at the number zero, you would be absolutely correct. Because not once does the Torah use the verb Resh Gimel Lamed, Meraglim or Liragel, to refer to this mission in Parshas Shlach. The verb that is used in our Parsha numerous times, as a matter of fact, is Lator. Shlach lecha anashim v'yasuru es eretz Kanan asher ani nosein livnei Yisrael. Go and scout the land, a different type of scouting mission than Liragel. Lator has a more positive tone. It's a mission to survey the land in order to set up an infrastructure. Look at the topography, the climate, which area would be good for farming or commerce or seafaring. Don't look to see if it is penetrable and whether or not you can defeat the people living there in a military way, since you are promised this land regardless of the conditions. V'yasuru es eretz Kana'an asher ani nosein livnei Yisrael. I'm handing the land to Bnei Israel on a silver platter. You won't need to determine whether or not you have the military might to enter the land. So they went Lator to survey, but they came back and reported that the place was indeed impenetrable. They could not they can't engage in combat with these people, when indeed they weren't asked about the combat. They were not to look, they were not to approach this mission from a military perspective. They went from Tarim to Miraglim. In fact, in Sefer Devarim, when Moshe recounts the story, some of the details are filled in there. There, Moshe indeed uses the Lashon of Ragel, Resh Gimel Lamed, L'Ragel, in addition to Ches Pei Resh, which both imply going to search for the weak spots. In Sefer Devarim, Perak Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Beis, 1:22, "Vatikrovon alai kulchem," you all approached me, "Vatomru," and you said, "Nishlacha nashim lefanenu v'chapru lanu es ha'aretz," let's send men and let them scout, let them spy the land, let's find the weak spots of the land. "V'yefnu v'alu ha'ara v'yavo ad nachal eshkol v'yiraglu osa," and indeed you went to nachal eshkol and you spied, using the Lashon of Liragel. So Liragel has the different connotation from the Lashon of Lator. Liragel implies, as we have said, spying for the purpose of finding the weak spots It's spying for military reasons. The goal of their mission was to survey the land Latour, to assess how to set up the infrastructure, but they turned the mission into something else entirely. Instead of bringing back the facts about the topography or the soil, the overall nature of the land, they bring back their opinions of whether or not they can take the land militarily. Their reports turned to doom and gloom as they lost faith that it was even possible to enter the land. They first acknowledge that, yes, the land is a good one. V'gam zavas chalav u'dvashi, v'zeh pirya. It is indeed flowing with milk and honey. And look, here is its fruit. Efes, but. Ki az ha'am ha'yoshev ba'aretz.
But the people are too strong.
It's impenetrable for us. We can't do it. It's amazing land, but. Whenever you hear that word but, it's a sign of trouble. As the Ramban says, the word efes means but. But within that word, there is also the implication of efes meaning nothing, meaning it's impossible. Despite God's promises that this is the land that I'm handing over to you, the go and spy out the land, asher ani nosein livnei Yisrael. I'm handing it over to you. Despite this promise, the men become despondent and they become frightened. The men who are referred to by the Torah as anashim, implying men of import, men who had some sort of leadership capacity, men who should have brought back encouragement to the people. Instead, they are completely discouraging in their report, and they color their report with their own insecurities. The negativity and pessimism, which were already threatening to tear away at the fragile psychological state of the people, dealt its fatal blow. And the people are swayed by this false narrative, after which a major panic ensues. In Parsha Shlach, Perek 13, Pasuk 32, Vayotziu dibas ha'aretz asher taru osa el b'nei Yisrael lemar. They bring back negative report about the land, about how scary and imposing the people are and how it's impossible for them to overtake this land. We look like grasshoppers in their eyes. And then in Perek 14, Perek Yodalid, the Torah continues to tell us, Vatisokol ha'eda v'yitnu eskolam, the whole community broke out into loud cries, and they cry, v'yibchu ha'am b'layla ha'hu, and the nation cried on that night. These men incite a rebellion against the leadership and the very goal that they initially had set out to do from the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim falls apart. Vayilonu al Moshe v'al Aaron, kol b'nei Yisrael. All of the b'nei Yisrael complain about Aaron and Moshe. They complain about the leadership. But not only that, they want to go back to Mitzrayim. Nitna rosh v'nashuva Mitzrayim, they scream out. Let's go back and return. We don't want this. We don't want the leaders. We don't want this goal of entering the land. We want nothing of it. There are so many questions here about how this happened. How did it materialize? Were there subconscious motivations underlying the coloring of the spies' reports, as some commentaries suggest, that transitioning to Eretz Yisrael meant a loss of some of the leadership status that they were enjoying? Was it simply a lack of faith that they were capable of taking on an entire land? Was it a subconscious worry that they truly did not want to make the transition from a miraculous existence in the desert to a life of a natural existence where finding holiness and meaning in the mundane may have been a harder task, as some commentaries suggest? Or can we recall the symptoms that began surfacing in last week's parsha? Zacharnu es hadag asher nochal chinam. We remember the fish that we ate for free. For free meant chinam mitzvos. They didn't want the responsibility. They were afraid, perhaps, of the added responsibility of living in a singular and unique land. Or can we perhaps answer all of these possibilities with one theory that many of the Musar thinkers offer? And that is that the people perhaps lost faith in Hashem, true. They lost faith in their leaders, true. But underlying all of this was a lack of faith in their own abilities. Understanding our uniqueness and our status as an Am Segula, being given a land that is unique, is understanding the responsibilities that come along with that status. And one needs self-confidence to achieve such a goal. Lack of faith in oneself is devastating because it leads to inappropriate goal setting and lowering the bar. It leads to questions of faith in God and in his appointed leaders. As we know, two of the spies, namely Yehoshua and Kalev, attempt to stop the panic amongst the crowd. Their mission to do a survey of the land was not colored by personal variables, but was a mission where they were simply agents of Hashem, and therefore their assessment was full of enthusiasm and strength. Yes, you will be given the land, because God can do anything, but you actually need to demonstrate your willingness and desire for the land, and it's reciprocal. If you don't even want it or have faith in God, then God may not want you. If Hashem wants us, then Hashem will indeed bring us to the land and give it to us. And they continue to say in Perek Yudalid Pasuk Tes, Ach ba Hashem, Al timrodu, but just don't rebel against Hashem. Va'atem al tir'u es am ha'aretz, don't be afraid of the people in the land, ki lachmenu heim, because they are really our prey, they're our bread. Sartzi lam me'alehem, v'Hashem itanu, al tira'um. Their protection has departed from them, but Hashem is with us. Have no fear of them. Their reaction was that they wanted to stone, the people wanted to stone Yehoshua and Kalev to death. The damage had been done. Hashem then informs Moshe that he wants to wipe out the entire nation and begin anew with Moshe and the choice few who were not involved in the descent. Moshe, true to form as the consummate leader who balances the advocacy for his people with the advocacy for Hashem's honor, pleads on their behalf. Hashem signals his forgiveness and says, Salachti kidvarecha, I pardon you, I forgive you, as you have asked. The forgiveness is there, and the entirety of the nation is indeed not wiped out. However, the people still pay the price for their lack of faith, for their literally losing control and spreading a panic. The instigators were immediately killed, and the rest of the people, from the ages of 20 and up, got what they wished for. They would indeed not enter the land, after all, and would wander in the desert for a total of 40 years, a year for every day that the men were on this mission, where their attitude and personal bias were present from the get-go. We can ask, was this a punishment? Or was this perhaps a simple cause and effect, that in order to establish a functioning and successful society in the land of Israel, there needed to be a functioning and successful people to set up the land, and there needed to be a people that viewed themselves as having the potential to be successful? The Ibn Ezra back in Sefer Shmos tells us, Sivev shemesu kala'am hayotzei mimitzrayim hazacharim. It had to be that the males who were part of the generation that left Mitzrayim died in the Midbar. Why? Ke'en koach behem lehilachim b'knanim, at shekam dor achar dor ha-midbar shelo ra'u golos. Because those people who had experienced that servitude in Mitzrayim would have no strength, they would have no boldness or courage to fight the Canaanim. Parenthetically, although the war would no doubt be a miraculous in nature, but this new generation needed to enter the land. A generation that did not have a slave mentality, who were not part of Golas Mitzrayim, needed to enter the land. They needed the courage and the spirit to take on the challenges and rigors that a new existence required, and that original generation who experienced slavery just did not have what it took. The story doesn't finish here with the people dying and the people being given their punishment or the consequences of their actions, that they would have to stay in the Midbar for 40 years in total. Because some of the people want a second chance. Now they hear this devastating news. They realize they made a mistake. And now they decide, we actually want the land. You know, it always happens that we always want what we can't have. And they decide to go ahead of everybody else, to skip the 40 years, and we're going to march right into the land ourselves, despite the warnings from Moshe Rabbeinu that the window has closed. It's too late. Before they were told, Im chafetz Hashem banu, if Hashem wants us, then indeed you will be successful. But that opportunity was lost for the near future. Moshe pleads with them, Al ta'alu ki ein Hashem bikir b'chem. Don't go up now, because Hashem is not with you now. You won't be successful. They don't listen. They try to enter the land, but their mission fails, since now was not the time. They are immediately cut down by the Amalekim and the Canaanim. The next portion of our parsha deals with laws that can be kept only at once entering the land. The wine libations relating to the karbanos and the mitzvah of truma of challah, they are presented here to the people as a consolation to the people that although they would not enter the land, their children would enter the land and would have to keep these mitzvos. We end the parsha with the mitzvah of tzitzis, which seems to close a circuit here if we dig deep enough. Because we began our discussion with the focus on the word latur, to scout, to view the land. If we recall in last week's parsha, the Aron went ahead by 3 days ahead of the camp of Bnei Israel to mark the places where they would be imminently coming. They were, remember, they were poised to enter the land. And there, interestingly, the Lashon used there is, in Parshas Bahaloscha, Perek Yud, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Va'aron Bris Hashem Nosea Lefnehem, Derech Shloshes Yamim, Lasur Lahem Menucha. The Aaron went ahead 3 days' journey in order to Lasur Lahem Menucha, to seek out a resting place, to look, to scout. The 12 men were to go Latur Sa'aretz. This was supposed to be the final chapter, to scout the land. But as we have said, they were swayed by personal considerations and they made a mistake that was far-reaching. Now at the end of our parsha, we have the mitzvah of tzitzis. The fringes on the garment are to remind the wearer in Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Lametes, V'hayalachem letzitzis u'ri'isam osam, oso, u'zachartem es kol mitzvos Hashem, v'asisam osam. These tzitzis, these fringes on a four-cornered garment are there to remind us of Hashem to do his mitzvos, v'lo sasuru acharei levavchem v'acharei nechem asher atem zonim achareihem. And don't let yourself be swayed. Don't let yourself be turned from what your heart tells you to do and from what your eyes see on a superficial level. The Lashon of Lasur is used here. The mitzvah of tzitzis comes to combat the underlying cause of the Chet Meraglim. The spies saw the land, but they only saw it on a superficial level. They allowed what they saw with their eyes to be colored by their heart. Here the mitzvah is, the tzitzis tells us, do not let yourself interpret what you see on a superficial level. Don't let your heart and your emotions pull you astray and interpret things incorrectly on a mere superficial level. On a final note, as we are learning these parashios within the platform of Torah Simecha, literally the Torah of your mothers, which is a platform for women's learning, let us keep in mind that the women of this generation were actually not included in the decree not to enter the land, since they did not take part in the panic and the pessimism. As women to whom the nes of Yetzias Mitzrayim is attributed in large measure, Bizchus Nashim Sitkanios Nigalu Avoseinu Mimitzrayim, because of the overall optimism and hope that the women of that generation displayed at all levels, here too their optimism is noted because of their not being part of this terrible incident of the Meraglim. The Kli Yakar sums it up for us beautifully. Lakach parat anashim. Therefore, the Torah specifies men. Shlach lecha anashim. Lefi shamru rabbeinu zichronam levracha. Because our chachamim have told us, according to the Yalkut Shimoni, hanashim hayu sonim es haaretz. V'amru nitna rosh v'nashuva mitzrayma. The men detested, they rejected the land. They hated the land. And therefore they said, let's go back and return to Mitzrayim. V'hanashim hayu mechavavos ha'aretz, but the women loved the land, as exemplified and as crystallized by the Benos Tzlafcha, the daughters of Tzlafcha, who very much wanted a portion of the land. V'amru tana lanu achuza, give us an inheritance of the land. V'im kein amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'al kein amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore Hashem says, l'fita ati shani ro'eh ba'asid haya yoter tov l'shloach nashim hamechavavos es ha'aretz. I would have been better off sending women who actually love the land. May we be able to harness that collective natural tendency of optimism to refrain from any toxic endeavors and continue emanating encouragement to those around us. Thank you for studying today with the OU Women's Initiative.